Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life. Really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I like to say that hair is a woman's best accessory. And thanks to my friends at Way, they make it possible to have good hair days every day. Let me tell you, Way's hair oil has become a game changer in my hair care routine. So if you're ready to have good hair days every single day, you got to check out Way. Head over to The Way, theouai.com to check out their products. And here's a little treat for you guys. Use the promo code Heel Squad for 15% off your purchase. Yep, The Way, theouai.com, promo code Heel Squad for 15% off.
Happy Friday, everyone. We fooled them again. Made it to another week. It is not an LGF. I don't even think it's going to be an RGF light. I think we're going to have a regular guy Friday edition. I've got Natasha up in business class in South Africa. And I'll carry it with me and I'll sing it loud. And if it gets me nowhere, here's the thing you need to know. I'll go there proud. How about that? Cash me outside. What do you think about that? Do you know Jim Croce?
I do not.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you appreciate this song?
I do appreciate this song.
Yeah, Jim Croce went down in a plane crash, sadly.
Oh, that's very
lost
sad.
Her too young. Yes, where he got to miss out on his career decline, which inevitably would have happened because folk music of the 70s went away, and also would have missed out on his resurgence in the 2000s. Like John Denver was starting his surge back, he went down in a plane as well. But I digress. Oh, I digress. You know, we still have some of those singer-songwriters left, but a lot of them were of the ilk of Don McLean, American Pie. So they only had one or two hits. But the Croces and the Denvers had several. Jim Croce had many, many, many. It's your day today, people. Friday is your day. Friday is for the people. Friday is for the men, for the women. It's not for your partners. It's not for your bosses. It's not for your kids. It's not for your parents. Yes, it's shared with your dogs and your cats and your parakeets. But ultimately, it is your day. So here we are on this Friday. But, I see the flight attendant coming over to me, and now this is just becoming a weekly tradition. I did not unpack my blanket and my pillow. I did take my shoes off, and I did have my bare feet up on the armrest of the person in front of me, or excuse me. No, I have it because I'm going to lay flat seat. I'm so excited.
Yes.
And why are you going to just burst my bubble now, Natasha? Go ahead. Tell everyone that I have to move back to 46H Spirit Airlines middle seat. Explain to everyone. Go ahead. I'm ready now. It's fine.
Because you're all packed up.
Yeah, packing everything up.
You didn't unpack.
Yeah, no. My socks are back on along with my open sandals. The socks and sandals look.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, we are here on Regular Guy Friday. If you are looking for Maria and all of our business class healers, that is, you will return on a Monday to Thursday. There is a whole library of shows. So if you clicked in here and you don't want something that's a little lighter, a regular guy take on all of the healers that we have in the studio, then please, rather than giving us a one-star review, press pause, go into our amazing library, check out all of the things that we have, all of the great healers and Maria, and go and listen to one of those and then give us a 5-star review.
Maybe right back up to business in first class, just like that. Just press pause and you can be right back. Now, for those of you who don't mind Flying Spirit, who don't mind the center seat, you can stay here with me. Now, Natasha is in business class, but she's kind enough to come back and visit us, and she lets me like talk to her through the curtain, which I so appreciate. By the way, Natasha, as shallow Americans, all we need to hear is a South African accent or an English accent, an Australian accent, and we already think you're 10 levels smarter than we are, even though you really are 10 levels smarter than we are. But we assume that when we hear that. So you immediately at least let us be maybe the compromise of Economy Plus because of you. So without you, Center Seat, Spirit Airlines, yeah, and I'm fighting for my armrest.
I did think about you when I was on a flight last week.
Tell me, wait, did you have center seat?
I had center seat both ways.
Oh, Natasha.
Thank goodness I'm a pretty small person. So it's not too bad. It was last minute. We didn't book really in time.
It was last minute. So you didn't even have a buffer? Did you fly with Dylan or were you alone?
No, I was alone.
Yes, so you didn't have a buffer. Yeah. I'll do it if I have a buffer. Roxy's very petite, perfect. Mm-hmm. Kelsey's a little bigger, but fine. I get my buffer who can buffer for me, and then I'm okay. But without a buffer, it is tough.
On the way there, I was sitting next to a lady on either side of me, and they were all very considerate. The one got up to go to the restroom, and then all three of us decided to go at the same time. That was good.
Again, the etiquette.
Yeah. So that worked out well. But I did think about you. I was like, oh, I'm going to, on my flight.
This is how Kevin lives. Yes. This is Kevin's life every day.
On my way home, I was like 3 rows from the back.
Just always in the center seat. As I'm in Connecticut in this used minivan a few days ago, and I'm broken down on the highway again, and I'm like, "What? Why? Why?" And when the house that we have, my house in Connecticut, because there was a pipe that burst, it is now somehow in worse shape than it was when I left it, because it's full on construction. I mean, every room is just studs, stacks of sheetrock, dirt and dust, and there's one room that isn't, and I'm on the floor in that room. There's a sink in that room. It's just like a cell, and I'm on the floor in there and getting up, and I'm even scratching my head on how to conduct the renovation, even though I have contractors. I just said, I really think that a man of my age and how hard I've worked my whole life, I'm really tired of riding the center seat Spirit Airlines, Natasha. I'm just telling you. And for the sake of my little daughter, I have to really start thinking this through because, my grandfather died at 48. My dad was in his early 50s when he died. I mean, I don't know how far underpower can really take us. Underpower really gets spent a lot. So I don't know. Just saying. Anyway, please don't leave us the 1-star. You can just press pause and go back into the library and get some really amazing content with Miss Maria and some amazing healers with fantastic takeaway. Meanwhile, here in Economy Plus with, we don't even get the small bag of pretzels, do we?
I did last week.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's nice. Okay, so we do get that.
I got a free drink. I think it was a choice between a juice, a water, a coffee, and a
tea.
That's
not bad.
And then they walked around with, you could get some kind of mini chewy granola bar.
Is it like
pretzels?
Is it the bite sized one or something?
Yes.
Yes, not the four. Okay.
And then or a bag of plantains. How long? Like three plantains in it.
Okay, how long? Yes. How long was the flight? How long was the flight?
About 5.5 hours.
Natasha, why don't call me? This is when you call me and I go, no, there's got to be a workaround. I mean, you got at least Economy Plus or Exit Row, something.
I think somebody very that you know, and I know too, who does amazing bookings,
yeah,
did their very best.
Got it. I don't know. And, for my body, I have long legs. I'm tall. It's really... And then just all the beatings that I've done, herniated disc, all the stuff in the carny business and construction. My body's so beat up that when I go up in the air, and I'm in, crammed in one of those seats for over 2 or 3 hours, it's a lot. And I digress, though, but that's what we do here. We sit in the center seat. We just make the best of it. We've talked before about when you start to explain your side of a story, now you're in a negotiation. Have I been over that with you, Natasha?
No.
You know what's nice with you, Natasha? You see, the first 50 episodes, let's say, of Regular Guy Friday, just that's it. I was tapped out. Every regular life lesson is there. So because you're new to this, relatively, to Regular Guy Friday, it's nice because I can repeat all these lessons and you can go along like you haven't heard. Or you could just do what the kids do and pretend. Oh, yeah, no, that's amazing, Kevin. We've never heard that before. Do go on. No, but you hear that sometimes when you are, let's say you're 100% in the right and you start explaining your side of the story, especially to a narcissist, now they've got you because you're negotiating.
Yeah.
You're showing you're not sure of your side.
True.
And they've got you. So now they'll get you making concessions in your mind or in a decision or whatever. So that's a big thing. It's like when you go to explaining, now you're in a negotiation. There's an old, there was an old story in history about Winston Churchill. It's a famous story, like I think kind of an underground story. I don't think it's one of those stories that's, you know, so in the public. But apparently he liked his working women, his, I don't know what you'd say, the world's oldest profession, the women of the evening.
Yes, a lady of the night.
Lady of the night, I'd like to, yeah, and they're ladies, so we're putting it in a very politically correct way. Yes. But he would, at parties, openly proposition women and say, yeah. He went up to an ambassador's wife, said, yeah, how much, you know, would it cost for me and you to be together? She said, sir, excuse me, I'm married. And, you know, and this is really rude and inconsiderate, and no. And he said, no, ma'am, I need to know how much it is for us to be together tonight. You have to just at least give me a number. We work from there. You're crazy. I'm not interested, first of all. Secondly, I am married. Third, you know, I don't have a number. This is just not something I do. Madam, I'm simply asking you for a number, just a number of what it would cost to be with a woman like you. I'm going to say it again. I am married. I don't do this for a living. And if I had a number, believe me, it would be way too much that you could even afford. And furthermore, and by the way, this is not a negotiation. And you know what he said? Madam, since the minute I was talking to you, it's been a negotiation. You know, you've been negotiating with me, and she was, because she was explaining. So I thought you knew that. The reason I brought it up, though, was not about that, but I was talking to the great Ida Kendall, and she wanted me to explain my side in a business situation. I said, yeah, but okay, now I'm negotiating. She says, no, matey. There's explaining and there's contextualizing. So this is about explaining versus contextualizing. So in many situations, we find ourselves explaining our side of the story when we've been wronged. We're subtly negotiating our side when there's really no negotiation that should take place. However, sometimes you need to explain more so to set context. Sometimes people need context to actually understand your side. And I think that's the difference. So there are times you have to explain yourself. And I think it could come down to the person on the other side, because maybe the person is such a narcissist that they're not going to hear anything. And then maybe contextualizing isn't going to matter. Maybe it will come off as negotiation. But I think in certain situations, when you do explain your side to a person who has a relative degree of empathy, And when they have context, then they can better understand your side of it. So I don't know if that helps, but I was confused over that too, because I've been explaining my whole life. Look at how much explanation I just gave about being in 46H, center seat. So, you know, I hate to admit it, a practicing codependent, but a trying to recover as a codependent.
A recovering codependent.
You know, I'm working on the explaining, but it was nice to get that little caveat, because I think sometimes we get advice from people. I see this, by the way, I see this all the time with younger people, is, you know, they're all in therapy, or a lot of them are, and then they get the advice and they take it totally out of context, or they go way to the extreme. And I'll say, no, that's not, I think you interpreted that bit of advice wrong, or you took it the wrong way, or it's not a one size fits all. Maybe you need to react or respond in a different way with this situation, because it's different. I just know in coaching and in managing, I always have to say to Maria, you know, everyone is different. And so people respond to different things. And, you know, there's times where I've had to be tough with people because I know they respond to that. And then there's times where I just know it's going to, it's only going to exacerbate the problem. It's only going to make things worse. So it's kind of a side note. I just look for what's the end goal and how am I going to get to the end goal? And, you know, but everyone is different. And so even the best advice from Ida or anyone else, it's not always applicable. Like, it's not one paintbrush that fits everything.
Well,
sometimes you'll contextualize and sometimes you'll explain, but I digress.
But it's funny that you bring that up, because this week on Heal Squad, well, we interviewed, it's going to be airing in a couple weeks' time, is a narcissist expert. Mm. And she kind of mentioned the same thing.
Yeah.
She was like, you have to be very matter of fact when you talk to them. It's got to be like you're just reporting the news. Like the minute that. You start to try and do anything
they
other
got
than
you.
That, they got you.
They got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for them, contextualizing doesn't matter because they don't have empathy.
Yeah.
So they're not going to understand, hey, you know, I did that because of X, Y, and Z, and I had this going on or that going on. And what I meant was, it just doesn't matter to them.
Not at all.
So, and this relates, I was back in that situation in Connecticut, living in a swamp. That's what I felt like. And I do feel, and I am working with Dan Huber, who's been on our show. He's really been amazing, reaching out to me and on me about getting this mold test. But I'm telling you, I don't know if anyone else has had been exposed to mold or black mold, but I have for the last 20, 30 years. I mean, I might as well have, you know, put it on my Special K in the morning. And just fight through. And just, you get to an age where the wheels just start coming off the wagon. And you know, as soon as I walked into that house with all the, it was so dark. It's getting cold back there. Very little, in the room is very little sunlight. That the one room is damp. I was headachy and tired, but also emotionally very, very, very depressed. And I swear it's that, because I also, conversely, when I get into sunlight and vitamin D, I feel so good. And I know that's the one thing mold doesn't like, is sunlight, you know? So, but I'm in this state, and I have my session with Ida, and I just said, listen, I don't even know where to start, Ida, today, because, you know, I run things by her, I give her reports on the week, I talk some business stuff with her. She's my sensei, my coach. And so I just said, I'm really in a bad, bad way. And she said, you know, matey, it's all about the small wins. And let's just think about some small wins you've had since you've been back here. You know, for years, for example, on this Connecticut property, we have all this land, but it's some of it's useless. Some of it, there's water, and some of it is on property borders that you can't really build on it. So I've said the way to make it useful is, let's make some paths. We can hike, we can snowshoe. And the way the world is going, and for the sake of my daughter, now I'm really building this for her. So someday she'll have this, she can grow her own food. And, you know, I think being in a community, and it's what we call the quiet Kana of Connecticut, but it's also, we know from Dr. Allison, who's been on our show, it's one of the lowest, it's one of the best places for water and one of the lowest places for 5G radiation in the country.
Oh, wow.
Out of sheer luck, yeah.
That's amazing.
And we found it, you know, so I thought about that. So these trails are actually coming together, making them. And so I was like, okay, that's one win. But then we just got into the talk about how life and any big undertaking you're doing is built on little wins. And she was telling me how the non-narcissists and the really successful people spend more time celebrating the little wins than they do the big giant victory, and how it's the opposite for the narcissist. And she was just saying, you know, big plans run in phases. Big plans, you know, take an incremental win kind of attitude, where each one of those little phases needs a win. But here's the problem. I've had narcissist bosses, and this might relate, if you've had a narcissist boss or a narcissist partner, they have no respect for those small wins. Because narcissists have instantaneous expectations and need instant gratification. They have no tolerance or respect for the process because they can't share your experience due to the fact that they're not actually doing the work more often than not to get there. So they don't understand. So I remember having this one narcissist producer who was never on set. And the few times he came, he was in the air-conditioned trailer. And I was in 110-degree weather. I remember, I'm almost a 190-pound guy. And I remember for this film, I was down to 162. Sweating and sweating and sweating. And just caffeine, caffeine, caffeine. And just no sleep to get it done. And I just remember it was the same thing. There was no understanding at all of what I was going through. And it didn't matter that he saw me working, knew I was working, because he wasn't doing it. So it didn't matter to him. And it was all about the big win. When is it going to be done? You know, you might say, oh my God, it rained, we lost this location, but we found a way, we snuck into this other garage, it came out way better. Yeah. Are we on budget? Are we going to get, you know, and I've had many, by the way, like, Maria, because of, you know, I'm a codependent, and she is too, but then codependents easily can flip to narcissism, and I can and have, and she can and has, but then it helped me understand why sometimes she doesn't get the little wins either, you know, so it was nice to be able to talk about this, and I said, I really want you to start recognizing this, because, you know, we have so many little wins along the way, and you're worried about always the big one, or where the big one hasn't happened yet. And again, at my worst, I've done that too. I don't want to do that. But it helped me to understand sometimes if you're dealing with a narcissist. Narcissists get petty about incremental wins because their value system is about the big bang buck, the giant endgame win.
But I think also, Kev, that I do think that some people that aren't narcissists also struggle with the wins, with the little wins.
Oh, no, yes.
Yeah, I just want to clarify.
Well, I'm saying to the non-narcissists, celebrate those little wins.
Yeah.
Because she got me back into it, and like, it really did help
it
me.
It changes.
Yes.
It does change your perception.
Right. Thank you for, Natasha, I love people in business class. I don't look down on you rich people. I really don't. I'm like, I just look up to you. I'm just hoping I can get there one day. But no, that's why I'm bringing it up. I'm really bringing it up for celebrate those little wins, okay? And know it's going to be all those little wins. And I was talking to Maria. I go, Maria, think of Vin Diesel in Fast and the Furious. What do you think means more to him? Being at the premiere of, you know, one of the best ones he's ever made that's going to make a lot of money, or all little wins on set. We got The Rock. Now we get John Cena. Now we get The Rock back. Or we're on set. We just nailed this amazing scene. And she's like, yeah, you're right. It would be about those little wins. So we have to celebrate those little wins. And then also, to your point, without the incremental wins, however, you have no infrastructure and no sustainability. The incremental wins are the cake, and the big win is the icing. So you need that. That's what makes up. Because other than that, you're top heavy.
And then you also don't realize what the big. You don't realize the big win. Because you're not conditioned to look for the win.
Right. Right. And you don't see it. Or if you just get the big win without the little wins, chances are, when it goes, like it all does, when it because it's everything passes. So when that passes, that's why you see a lot of one-hit wonders or a lot of stars. They just hit it really fast without the incremental wins. They got lucky. They scratched a lottery ticket. Lottery ticket winners, too. That's why you see them go right back. They turn right back into pumpkins because they didn't have those incremental wins to get there.
Yeah, there's no foundation.
So I say it for two reasons. One is celebrate those incremental wins, but two, really know that when the other person is busting your chops about the big win, then know that that's what you're dealing with. You know, I mean, I remember saying to somebody, it was AfterBuzz, at one point, and I don't know what it's like now, but if you Google Bachelor After Show, the number one thing that comes up is AfterBuzz, not ABC, not Hulu, all their after shows we beat. And I remember saying it to an exec, an agent type, you know, that was working with us, and his response was, yeah, you making any money? You know what I mean? And it's just like, but now I kind of know where that comes from. Is you're a narcissist and you don't get it. And you're all just about the big win. But the rest of us need to be about those little wins and need to embrace them more. And it just, I don't know, just helped me pull out. And then when it helped me pull out, we went deeper in it. And then that's some of the conclusions.
I like that. I often think about the story that Tony Robbins uses in one of his events is that he had... It was, I think, the very first date with Destiny that he did. So it was all just like his friends and small people, you know, it was a very small group of people. Mm-hmm. And he pulled some person out of the audience and he was like, oh, this guy, because he just knew him, is definitely going to tell me like that he feels successful, because he was pulling them out of the audience and say, do you feel success every day? And he looked at this guy, you know, he earns multi-million dollars every year, uber successful businesses. Mm-hmm. I probably had like a body fat of like 16% or maybe even less, like all of this stuff. And Tony was like, when do you feel successful? And he says, I don't earn this amount a year. It was like less than what he was earning less, but it was still like a lot. And then Tony said, but you earn this. He goes, yes, but that's not in salary. That's just, he was making all these excuses. He said, in terms of my fitness, I'm not running at this speed and I'm not this body fat. And, and it was like, for Tony, that felt so incongruent and that crazy. And then he turned around to the person, like sitting two people away from him, and said, what is your, like, how do you feel success? Also, uber successful business guy, you know, living a good life. He said, every day I put my feet on the ground, I feel successful.
So the other guy, obviously, right? The guy who puts it, says, I feel, right? Is, and by the way, what is the definition of success? Which is a whole other thing. I mean, you know, I go to my mom and Frankie, and my mom, teacher, and Frankie was air conditioning repairman. And Frankie probably retired early 60s. My mom, mid to late 50s. And they have a townhouse in a little town. And, you know, it's just christenings, brisses, graduation parties, and three trips a week to the Burlington Mall. You know, and they have their two cars that are paid for, and probably very little miles on them. And that's success. You know, when you get up every day and you don't have to punch a clock anymore, or you don't have to answer a boss, that's one version of success to me. And by the way, that's what's guided me all. I'm like, Maria, remember Frankie and Kathy, we can always have that life. No matter what, we'll have enough for a modest two-bedroom or three-bedroom place out in the middle of nowhere, and we'll be okay. you know, we won't be even able to do a lot of trips on 46H Spirit, but we can do one. My mother, they, two or three trips a year she takes. So, yeah, we really do. And I think also for that person, you know, the older I get, the more you focus on what you're lacking, the more you're going to get of that. And we know that from our show, from Heel Squad, rather than the guy who's like, puts his feet down. He's like, I'm successful every day. He's going to get more of it. But the person that is, you know, saying, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I don't have enough. Oof, I feel the heaviness of that. But then also we know scientifically that's what you're going to get back in return. Anyway, all right, you guys, let's take our first break. When we come back, I want to talk to you all about codependent catnip that both Natasha and I very much enjoy. But obviously, codependent is not healthy, nor is catnip. So anyway, all that and more on this Regular Guy Friday.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it. All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're gonna love them.
With summer upon us, friends, hair is going to be even more important. Yes, we've got humidity, we've got sun, we've got all kinds of things. And sometimes it's hard to find the right shampoo for your hair. Everyone's hair is so different, and there's no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why I love Way. They have different shampoos depending on your hair type. Want volume? Find hair and conditioner will give you that extra oomph you need. If you need some moisture and a little extra bounce, find your happy medium with medium shampoo and conditioner. And for my peeps with thick hair like me, give your hair the hydration it deserves with thick hair shampoo and conditioner. Plus, you guys already know Way carries some of my favorite hair care products I use all the time, whether it's the leave-in conditioner, which is my go-to, or the hair oil. They give my hair this hydrating refresh all summer long. Wash your way to healthier hair. See what I did there? With shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to TheWay, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theway.com, TheOuai.com. Use the code Heel Squad. Your hair deserves it.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show, or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag, and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios.
Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
LA is fine, the sun shines most of the time. Yeah, it does.
And the feeling is laid back.
My feeling is questionably laid back.
Palm trees grow and rents are low.
Rents are not low.
Keep thinking about.
It used to be, I guess, lower than New York, which Gail Diamond was from. And back then he was thinking of making his way back.
Apparently. New York City, born and raised. Nowadays I'm lost between two shores.
You know, and I've been lost between Boston and L.A. I feel you, Neil.
L.A.'s fine, but it ain't home. New York's home.
Oh, yeah. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. And I, you know what? One of our Heel Squad listeners who's in business class can explain what I am, I said, means to no one there. Nah? Not even the chair. So what? I get that he's lost because he's got no home. I know that feeling. So is he just saying I am?
Yes.
No matter if it doesn't matter if I'm in LA or New York, I am.
Like I am who I am.
Do you like this song, Nat?
I do like the song.
Do you know that this is Neil Diamond?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and he's still lonely.
Back in South Africa, we did know about Neil Diamond.
Okay. This would be good for LGF, leaving me lonely still.
Did you ever read about a frog
who dreamed of being a frog who dreamed of being a king and then became one? That was probably him, right?
Well, except for the names and a few other changes. If you talk about me.
If you talk about him. The story's the same one. Yeah, I guess so. Here we go. Come on.
But I got an emptiness.
I've got an emptiness deep inside. So do I.
But it won't let me go.
And I've tried, but it won't let me go. And I've stayed a frog in 46H.
And I'm not a man who likes to swear.
Yeah, I like to swear. And actually, I love being alone. Hi. You guys, we're back on this Friday. Me and Natasha. Natasha all the way in South Africa. Well, actually, who's kidding who? She's not in South Africa. She is up in business class. Must be nice.
Maybe we're flying to South Africa.
Maybe we are flying to South Africa. I'd probably be getting dropped off somewhere. And you'd be connecting to your second business class lay flat seat. So, by the way, did you opt for the Sunday or the cheese and fruit dish? Just curious up there in business class.
Oh, they bought me in a special meal because I have such strange eating habits.
Yeah, you checked off the special meal.
I did check off the special meal.
Nice. Okay. Must be nice to be you. Okay. See, when you overgive to people, the receiver of your overgiving doesn't have to empathize. See, so sometimes it's not just people being narcissistic. Well, they're narcissistic, but they're not actually narcissists. It's just that we overgive to them so much, they just get used to it. So I just saw like Maria's mother just gave and gave and gave. And because I was an outsider and I was used to the mom, 3 o'clock on the couch watching Oprah. I just remember, Mom, can you lift your legs as I'd be running the vacuum cleaner after? So when I met Maria's mom, up at 4:30, and when I tell you, breakfast and this and that and trips to Home Depot and then always the dog taking care of the dogs and running errands for us and keeping Dad sugar on pace, and then he was amazing too. But you know, 5:30 he'd sit down and watch hockey, and then she was going till 11 at night, and I just remember being like, what? Like, what is this? You know, but I think they didn't realize it. I still have to remind them. they miss her terribly. Everyone cries and talks about her, but I don't know if they really understand like how much she gave, which to me is why she's not here anymore. You know, my dad was the same way. But people don't empathize anymore because you overgive.
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk about why we are. Yes.
To it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, Kev, like you say that she gave so much. I'm going to digress for a second.
Please.
When my mom became very ill, or like when later on, when I had more control over the situation, I went to speak to everybody, metaphysical and medical related.
Yeah.
And I met with this one person who explained it so beautifully, is that because my mom was also an overgiver, it was just her nature. And they said, energetically, people who are overgivers usually land up being in a place towards the end of their life where the energy needs to correct itself and they need to be given to.
Interesting. Wow. That was my dad and that's Lisa.
Yeah.
Because then it went the other way for 2 years with my dad and 4 years for Lisa, where they were now being taken care of. That's why my dad didn't really mind being sick, because he kind of enjoyed being babied and taken care of.
It's also the excuse there was he couldn't do anything else. Because if he was probably a little bit well, he would have.
Oh, forget it. Yeah. That's interesting. Wow. Okay. Really must be nice to be in 7C up there. So you're in one of the single pods, and I know they lay flat seats, but business sometimes they at least put you next to somebody.
Oh, no, I'm in a single pod.
Of course.
Because you know how it is? You know, it's got the two and then the single.
It's got the one. Got the one.
Okay. Special request today. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, codependent catnip. So this is the one. This was a pretty good knee to the groin for me, and I thought of you, Natasha, as well. And that's why I really want to go over this with you. Now, hopefully, you will be as offended as Kelsey is, as every time I'm trying to help Kelsey, I overgive, and then I'm the bad guy. And it's that scene in Rocky. Yeah, screw you, creepo. Who are you to be giving advice to anybody? But I think of you, but I'll at least tell this is me, and I'll tell you how this has affected me even this week. Codependent catnip. So a colossal codependent needs to be needed. Anyone that needs them, and just the essence of being needed is essentially catnip, as being needed and fulfilling others' needs, one, confirms the codependent's feelings of superiority, as they are usually living with an inferiority complex. So when you're able to help, let's say, a narcissist who you're seeing as superior, but they come to you in a moment of weakness, you're able to help this big, powerful narcissist, but this big, powerful, amazing human, how do you feel in that moment? You feel superior. You feel good. You feel worth. And then the second thing is it ends up reflecting back to you your self-worth. So your self-worth jumps up in that moment, but it's catnip, it's heroin. And like any drug, it gives you that high. But then the crash after is the other party is you're overgiving, they're not really grateful, and then you need your next high. And often this is how codependents earn their coin as kids. What children codependents often heard was, what have you done for me today? What have you done for me lately? Codependents are not good with having boundaries, and conversely, the narcissist has unrealistic expectations and fails to respect other people's boundaries. So together, they form a system. So the reason I'll bring it up to myself is, I have a lot of celebrity friends, I have a lot of friends, I have a lot of acquaintances, and I do spend a lot of time thinking about and worrying about a lot of people, and because I am told I have an Adderall brain, even though I'm not on Adderall. Soon to go on Adderall as a dadfluencer. Hashtag dadfluencer. Hashtag Adderall. Shout out to all you other dadfluencers out there. I got you, kings. But my Adderall brain is always going, and I'm always thinking of other people. There's many people on our show who tune into Heal Squad, and they'll have problems, and I'll think, and I'll have the solution at 3 a.m. and I'll share. And I love that. But there was this week, there was a celebrity who called for some help on a project, and I helped. And, you know, I gave, I mean, the Adderall crystal brain really came through. A lot of huge ideas, breakthroughs, solutions, workarounds. And thank you, but, you know, not super appreciative, but thank you. And it was fine. It was fine. But then I noticed something they were posting was missing the mark. They were making some mistakes with what they were posting. And immediately I wanted to get on the phone. And by the way, I don't know if I've ever been this busy in my life. I've worked this hard in my life and harder, you know, with the renovations and things like that. But I've never been so busy with so many different businesses and projects going at once, in addition to being night nurse and hashtag dadfluencer without hashtag dadroll. So I've never been this busy, but I was going to reach out to this person and say, oh, with this post, you don't want to do this. You want to maximize your search engine optimization in X, Y, and Z ways. And you want to, this is the way you want to tag it. And I was going to go all into it. And then I realized this is just, you know, my need to be needed and me probably just wanting to feel superior in that moment that I could help this person and then obviously give a slight boost to my self-worth. But the person wasn't really going to fully appreciate what I was doing. But I just keep going back to that, Natasha, and that's what I want you to hear, is that we need to be needed. So that's why often when we get the calls from other people saying, hey, can you help me with this? I know, Natasha, like, you have a lot of important people who reach out to you, but it's always like, hey, I've got an idea for a big business. Hey, can you get me on Maria's show? Hey, what's the new technology you're using? And you know, you're fast to help them because you're awesome, but I feel like both you and I do that because it's nice to be needed, and then you feel good in that moment. But then I'm just telling you, as someone who's a lot older than you, it's compromised my health, and it doesn't make me happy in the long run. And I know I'm going to really work on it. So I didn't call this person. I'm like, no, just do your post the way you're doing it. But normally I would have reached out and said, oh, stop. You need to do this. You need to do that. You know, so it really was a breakthrough for me about needing to be needed and why, and the drug-like, the unhealthy drug-like high we get from that. And so I'm just going to try to keep it in check if I can, while being a dadfluencer, obviously.
Well, that's the most important.
Yeah, hello. Giving soft smile, peace signs, and, you know, and, yeah, giving people discounts on various products that I'm going to sell as a dadfluencer. Hashtag dadfluencer, just put in the code. Yeah, that's where I'm going with it. Anyway, I just thought that was, that really spoke to me. I don't know if that speaks to anyone else, but that need to be needed and say, you know what, I don't want, that's not healthy, and I'm going to try to create new patterns, new behaviors to create new personalities, as Dr. Joe Dispenza has taught us. I digress.
No, but it's so true. It's because, like, you start so often, well, at least let me rather talk for myself, mm-hmm. is that when you are in these situations, you define your self-worth between not just by who you are, it's about what you do. So when you try and do and give, you're externalizing your self-worth, which is not what we want to do.
Right.
But in this situation, you feel a little bit better about yourself. And then you, as you were saying, you get the low, and then you've got to reach back out to try and make yourself feel worthy or useful in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to sit with it a little more, but I really feel like that was, I don't know, that really just spoke to me, and it's something I'm going to really try and police more, you know? So, let's take one more break, Natasha. I think when I come back. Now I'm going to go the other way. And I don't think the heel squad needs to hear this, but maybe all the fatheads and loudmouths like me that are in your life need to hear it. But I heard a great Buddhist recording on being silent, on the power of being silent. That really spoke to me. Anyway, all right. All that and more as we wrap up this Friday. Happy Regular Guy Friday, everybody. And we'll be right back.
There was a huge hermitage of Gautama Buddha in a village. A famous Buddhist teacher lived there. There, one of his disciples used to speak a lot. He used to talk here and there all the time. When he went to collect donations, he would bring a new story from every house and tell it to the other disciples of
his
the ashram.
Name was Kevin.
Used to talk bad about one disciple to another, backbiting and tried to be good in front of others.
Oh boy.
He used to praise himself from his own mouth and always tried to prove himself to be the most intelligent and best in front of the guru.
Well,
he considered himself different and superior to all the disciples.
Yeah, maybe a little.
He said that I am a child of a rich family. If I wanted, I could have lived a comfortable and full of facilities life. But I left all that and came here because I have to discover the truth, to know myself, to know life. That's why my sacrifice is bigger than all of you. One day the guru called all the disciples of the ashram and said, "All of you have to take some resolution for the next 1 month. This will strengthen your determination power and will infuse self-power in you. All of you can take any resolution according to your ability, and if any one of you breaks your resolution before 1 month, then he will return to his old routine." All the disciples took big or small resolutions according to their power and went away after telling the guru about their resolutions. But the disciple who wanted to show himself as different and bigger went directly to the guru's cottage and said, "I do not want to take any small resolution, but I want to take a big and great resolution like myself. Please tell me what resolution should be taken." Hearing this, the guru smiled and said, "Will you be able to fulfill the resolution given by me?
Okay.
Will it be possible for you to complete it?"
Done.
"Probably not. That is not possible for you. You will not be able to complete it."
He's right.
"That's why you yourself find a resolution." The disciple said, "No, Gurudev. Whatever resolution
it's
you give
though.
Me,
you
I will definitely fulfill it."
Or it won't work.
The master said, "Okay, then you will keep quiet for the next 1 month. Won't even take a word out of your mouth. This is your resolution." The disciple said, "Gurudev, is this also a resolution? This is very easy. Remain silent for a month. You give me some big resolution, which is worthy of my ability, which I have a problem in fulfilling." Guru said, "First you fulfill this resolution and show it." The disciple obeyed the guru, and he became silent at the same time and turned and went out of the hut. He found it much easier to remain silent. He spent 1 day silently, but from the second day, the burden of not speaking started increasing in his mind. On the third day, he started feeling heaviness, and on the fourth day, he started feeling a strange uneasiness because all the disciples in the ashram were talking to each other. He also wanted to present his side in front of them. He wanted to stop speaking, but his resolve was coming in the way. That's why he used to make only mouth and eyes the whole day. In this way, a few more days passed and that disciple fell ill. His head was exploding. He didn't even feel like eating or drinking. He just wanted to speak.
I get it.
He went to the guru and sat in front of him in writing and told him, "Gurudev, I want to speak. I can't breathe without speaking. I am getting out of breath. I am going insane inside. What should I do? Should I break my resolution?" Guru smiled after reading this and said, "Resolutions are only meant to be broken, but the one who fulfills his resolution, he increases his inner strength, and the one who increases his inner strength, he is on the path of society and awakening, grows further. Taking the resolution was also in your hands, and breaking it is also in your hands. Many of your brothers have broken their resolve and returned to their old routine. If you are not able to do it, then you can also break your resolve and go back to your old routine. But remember, if you are not able to handle this small resolution today, then how will you be able to handle the rest of your life? The rest of the decision is entirely in your hands." This talk of the guru hurt the heart of that disciple. He went back without saying anything and locked himself in his hut. He used to come out of the hut only for his essential works and would sit inside the hut all the rest of the time. 15 days had passed, and the resolve of almost all the disciples of the ashram had been broken by now, but his resolve was still on.
Nice.
After taking the resolution till now, he had not uttered a single word. The whole ashram was surprised that how did a person who spoke so much become silent. After 15 days, he again went to his guru and told in writing, "Gurudev, I am silent from outside, but there are many voices inside me. There is a lot of whining and complaining. I keep talking inside. My mind keeps asking all kinds of questions. The more silent I am from outside, the more noisy I am from within. Is my resolve still in this way?" The guru said, "Yes, your resolution is still going on. But as long as these voices of people keep falling in your ears, your mind will keep on speaking, because he has a habit of speaking. You may be silent on the outside, but you will be speaking on the inside. You have to go away from these things and these voices." The disciple goes from there after saluting the guru and leaves his hut in the morning and goes towards the forest. Many days pass. The time of resolution is also completed, but the disciple did not return. Everyone in the ashram was afraid that some wild animal might have eaten him. Meanwhile, many efforts were made to find him, but he was nowhere to be found. All the guru brothers had assumed that the wild animals had made him their prey, but the guru did not think so. One day, another disciple of the ashram came to the guru and said, "Gurudev, what must have happened to that talkative brother of ours? Would the animal have killed him?" The guru said, "The animals may have made him their prey, but there could be another reason for his non-return. Maybe he got what he went for." Then the disciple asked, "Gurudev, is it so harmful to speak too much?" The guru said, "One of the many miseries of a man's life is that he can never remain silent. He always keeps on saying something or the other. More than half of our miseries arise just because of our speaking. The reason for most of the quarrels in the family is our meaningless speaking. None of us wants to be silent. We just want to listen to the other person.
The reason for our
whatever is in our mind, we want to take it out and put it in his mind. Want to make him understand that, look, you are wrong and I am right. And in this way, everyone is taking rotten streets of each other. In this way, this work of listening and narrating continues throughout life. But in this ignorance, we lose our time, our life, our understanding, and most important and precious moments which can be lived, which can be experienced, which can be enjoyed. But what do we get in return? Nothing. Everything becomes futile and wasted. Only a few people realize what we have lost in this madness. Just as other people do not know about their arrival, similarly, they do not know about their departure." The disciple said, "Then what is the solution?" "This is the only way to watch your thoughts with full awareness," said the guru. "Contemplating all mental problems by staying in the present. Doing your work with full awareness brings miraculous changes in life." After that, after getting answers to his questions from the disciple, he bowed down to him and went away from there. 3 months had passed since that disciple had left the ashram, but there was no news of him. Till now, all the guru brothers had also given up the hope of his return. But one day, he returns to the ashram. Everyone's surprise and happiness knew no bounds on seeing him. But now he was not the one who left here. He came back as something else. A wonderful change could be felt in him. There was an amazing calmness on his face and great peace in his eyes. As soon as he came to the ashram, all the guru brothers surrounded him from all sides and started talking. He also started talking to his guru brothers. Everyone who talked to him felt that he was no longer as impatient and talkative as before. Each and every word came out of his mouth very smoothly and sweetly. After talking to the guru brothers for a while, he went straight towards the guru. He touched the guru's feet and said, "Gurudev, am I still silent? Is my resolution still on?" The guru looked very carefully into the disciple's eyes for some time and said, "Yes, you are still silent. Not a single word is coming out of your mouth and your resolution is still on." The disciple said, "Gurudev, when I left the ashram, I was silent with my mouth, but there were many voices inside me. There were many questions in my mind, and they were not stopping. So I went to the forest, hoping that there I would find peace and the chatter of my mind would subside. But the more I went into solitude, the louder the voice inside me grew. I started hearing the old and old voice inside me. Only then did I realize how wrong I was doing. When I used to say bad things to my family, friends, and guru brothers, at that time I used to feel that I am saying the right thing. Even when I used to backbite and make fun of the guru brothers, I used to feel that I was better than them. Yes, and I'm doing right. But that day I realized for the first time how wrong I used to speak. For a long time, these voices, these complaints kept going on inside me. But gradually, one day, all these voices finished from inside me. Now I have become silent from inside also. In that dense forest, there was no one to speak from outside, and there was no sound left inside, and I understood the true meaning of silence for the first time that day. There was peace all around me, although there were still some voices coming which used to come before, but I could not hear them. But now I could hear all those voices clearly. The sound of the wind blowing, the sound of birds chirping, and the sound of flowing water. I heard all these voices for the first time with full consciousness. I had never felt so much peace around me before. So to disturb this peace, for the first time, I took any word out of my mouth. I shouted, "Oh God, what kind of peace is this? Why is everything so quiet? What happened?" But even after my shouting, the peace was not disturbed. Everything was as calm as before, outside as well as inside. "Hey Gurudev," I talked to my guru brothers. "I talk to you, I am speaking, I am walking, I'm watching everything. But I am completely alone inside. I am in silence, I am in a crowd. Still, I am alone in solitude. Even when I want to make noise within myself, I am still in solitude. Now everything is visible. Everything has started to be heard." Guru said, "As long as we keep speaking on the outside, there will be unrest inside. But the day we turn inward, then whatever comes out of our mouth, we will remain calm. Most of the evil in the world stems from our speaking because we don't want to be silent. We talk more than we need to. We do not want to listen to the person in front of us. Rather, we want to stop him from speaking. Want to make him understand who I am, what I can do, and this remains the purpose of our life. All our energy goes on getting wasted in talking in vain. In such a society, the life of people is filled with sorrows, who are always engaged in telling each other, never want to listen to each other, never want to understand, and they have never learned to be silent, because being silent makes them feel small.
Now, does this apply to Christmas?
The reason for all the battles in the world is our speaking.
No.
That's why we should speak only as much as necessary. Because talking unnecessarily is a waste of energy. Okay. And this speaking never lets us go back
that
inward.
Deemed essential.
Because it keeps pulling us outwards and what is out there in this world. Except, but if you want to turn towards your inner world, then this mouth must be kept closed. That's why all the Buddhas who became enlightened, all of them ran towards solitude, so that they would not have to speak much, they would not have to listen much. He remained in solitude and remained calm. That's why you can easily travel inside. But if someone wants, he can live in solitude even while living in this world, he can remain calm. But for this, he has to save his energy, which he was till now wasting in his meaningless words.
Oh.
Friends, the lesson of this story is that speaking in vain is a waste of energy. Talking too much and unnecessarily does not allow us to return inward because it keeps us bent outwards, and those who have to travel inward must keep their mouth shut. I hope you enjoyed this story and learned a lot. You can tell us your thoughts about the story by commenting in the below comment box.
Whatever.
Before leaving, please like the video and subscribe to the channel. Namo Buddhe.
If you type in staying silent Buddhism, you can see this video. And then there's others out there that really go into the science of being silent and all the great things you get from it. I was, even just today, was like, I'm going to try it. Man, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because I want to negotiate. I want to explain. I want to talk over people, Matt. Don't you understand? I'm an American. I only know how to have opinions. I only know how to be entitled. I don't know any better. I'm in 46H. So give me a break. I'm in economy. All right? So come on. But I do see, like, I see the value in all that.
I have some friends who have gone on those 3, 4, 5 day silent retreats. And they weren't sure how they were feeling about it beforehand. Mm-hmm. But every one of them have made it like an annual ritual now.
It's funny, when you're young, like I went to St. Anselm College and they had monks, and, you know, I remember just being like, what? Come on. Let's go. Come on, go and get a real job. Or if you're going to be a priest, go out, be a priest and help people. And now I've come to realize that the power of collective prayer and the energy behind that, but then also remaining silent and those things, it's a different journey. And I'm getting it now, you know. I'm going to Italians, they would say, you know, the worst side of me is a gavone. That's what they call us. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, I have.
Really? I thought that was just an inside Italian thing. But I'll say to me, like, oh, yeah, no, I'm being a gavone. I'm being, you know, but when I'm, you know, not being a gavone or, you know, a civilian, I at least can appreciate the stuff in business class. And I don't know, it just really spoke to me. And so I know it's something I need to work on. And maybe hopefully that reaches people. For RGF bonus, I did mention the Christmas podcast. The Christmas Specials We Love podcast is back. We taped our first episode. I don't know when it's going to drop, but we started dropping some ones we did last year. We're going to do some Halloween specials, some Thanksgiving specials, and of course, we'll be going right back into Christmas. And we're going to be dropping maybe even 3 or 4 a week. We're really excited. We're going to cover a lot of different specials, but also some nostalgic topics, toys by the decades, and just a lot of fun stuff. So hopefully you'll support us over there on the Christmas Specials We Love podcast. You'll subscribe, you'll tell friends, you'll comment. Ann Sleeman's doing it with me. Ann's part of the Heal Squad. She does a lot for us, and she's really been bit by the bug. Christian Blatt from the Blattcast, who used to do the Tomorrow Show with me. And yeah, so there are a lot of work because it's a lot of research that we do. We really go deep getting the history of these specials, and we have a lot of fun doing it too. So anyway, but now that I need to be silent, I don't know. I don't know if the Christmas Specials Without podcast can go on.
Maybe no, I think they can.
They can.
And I think RGF can go on. My grandmother used to say, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. Because you should listen as twice as you speak.
So, but it does leave room for some speaking.
For some speaking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I like to listen to people. I mean, Ray always says I'm a good listener. I mean, so I can sometimes, my thing is Adderall brain is when someone starts spewing out their problems, I just start going, like, okay, got it. Let's go. Here we go. And then we've talked about this before. People just need the space to vent and just like giving them that safe space to vent, to feel down, you know, rather than put the fire out. Although, again, why you want to sit in a fire is beyond me, or even deal with the burns from the fire is beyond me. Let's get you, you know, let's get some ice on you. Let's get that fire out. Let's go after the motherfucker who lit the fire. Excuse me. Sorry, you'll bleep that part. Anyway, all right. Well, Natty, I think we got to go home. It's been like the end of the movie, The Freshman, one of the most more underrated comedies ever made. It just ends with Matthew Broderick telling the old mob boss, Marlon Brando, you know, it just was. So this episode, it just was.
It was more than just was.
Well, I don't know about that. So as the march to Halloween happens, I think we're officially in the holiday season, people. Some would argue holidays are almost over. If you were me, that's what I feel like. I feel like it's also over. No, I just have this impending feeling it's going to go way too fast this year because I have too much going on.
And you also have a little one, which makes it more exciting.
Yeah, well, and you know, she's in the place where she's in the place of pretend holiday, meaning not that she's pretend, we're pretending.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't know. She's not going to know for another year or two. But you know, the ridiculous new parents. It's like to the pumpkin patch. And like, I'm all in on it too. I'm not saying Maria. I'm all in on all the nonsense and the video. But Dean is looking at us like, what? Like, you know, like, okay, whatever, guys. So, are you making costumes this weekend, Dad? Are we doing anything for
Halloween? No, because Dylan chose his costume so long ago.
So we're done.
We are done.
No visit to the pumpkin patch.
No, we might do a pumpkin carving party on Sunday.
Oh, that'd be good. All right, there we go. All right, the march happens. Yeah, it's right around the corner.
It is around the corner. We decorated pumpkins last week at home.
And listen, once we fall back.
Oh, that's like it. It's over.
Yeah. Now, there's so much hatred towards you know, daylight savings. I just, and I think they're going to lift it at some point, but I don't know. To me, it's the holiday season when it's dark at 4:30. I don't know.
I don't deal well with that.
No, I think a lot of us don't. But I think back when my body could handle, nothing mattered. It was like, yeah, get dark. It's fun. Look at all the Christmas lights on. Woohoo! I could see my own breath. Isn't this fun? But yeah, maybe not so much now because I need the sunlight. Anyway, all right, Natty, take us out of here somehow, some way, something fun, Nat. We don't have to be queens, do we?
No, we don't have to be queens.
You want me to take us out of
yeah,
here?
Yeah, you're going to take us out of here.
Really? Economy yes. style. All right, dear. Well, here we go. All right, well, Nat. I don't know. Can you give us some more offerings before I'm on the spot here, honey?
Oh, I think it's been a good week at Hill Squad.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We had you and we had a double chat show this week. So people, if you haven't listened to that, you need to go back onto Monday and Tuesday and listen to Maria and Kevin. So many great takeaways. Coming up next week, we also have a week packed and filled, starting with our chat show on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
With you guys.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Like late Sunday night, early morning chat. So
there we go. That's awesome. Love those. And then we have our parenting expert.
Well, you know what? I feel like because I have been touched by an angel recently, not inappropriately.
Did it move the needle?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know why I feel called. So I'm going to take us out with a nice Hosanna in the Highest. Holy, holy, holy. God of power and might. You haven't heard this, huh?
No.
Yeah, you're Jewish, so yeah, you don't know. It's Catholic.
My grandmother wasn't Jewish.
Your grandmother was or wasn't?
Was not.
Right, but you are, right?
Yeah. Long story for another day.
I'd like to hear that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Anyway, you guys, just try to remember why we're here. Have fun. Make good choices. Be nice people. Stay present. No.
No, that's your squad.
That's up in 2C. No, back in 46H, this is what we say.
That's yesterday.
Yeah, back in 46H, we say this. Try to remember why the people in the economy are here, why we're here. Help each other learn from mistakes. And even back in 46H, in our center seat, that doesn't even recline, have a few laughs along the way.
Well, that's it for today, Heal Squad. Before I let you go, I want to make sure you don't forget to take care of yourself today. I'll be making sure I'm not forgetting to get outside, do my meditations, and of course, keep myself fueled with some sweet chili, wonderful pistachios. Wonderful pistachios, as you know, are my go-to when hunger strikes because they're one of the highest protein nuts, providing all 9 essential amino acids, and they're great for on-the-go snacking. So when you're ready to elevate your snacking game, visit wonderfulpistachios.com to grab a bag.